This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Scott Merkin is going to join the program a little bit later on this hour, talking all things White Sox baseball. Get to our best bets and certainly much more talk about Team USA as they move on now to the round of 16, only for the second time in their history. But right now, always a pleasure any time of the year to catch up with our friend Jonathan Davis. Does a great job here on the network as an NHL analyst. Give him a follow at West Coast Hockey. That's HKYNHL at the end. And JD, nice hat that you're rocking there. House Money. It's got a kind of a cool double meaning for the people that are watching on FanDuel Sports Network and on YouTube TV this morning.
Yeah, it sure does. This is a hat that Carolina goalie Brandon Buffy is in a collaboration with. Can't remember the name of the company off the top of my head, but it raises money for autism. All the proceeds go to autism, I think, in research in North Carolina. And look, Brandon Buffy's a goalie that played with house money. I mean, to think that he was a waiver claim from the Boston Bruins and now a Stanley Cup winning goalie.
Amazing. Great stuff. And we'll take a couple of those hats, too, to help support the cause. No question about it. Speaking of support, you and I and Dave were just talking off air about the Washington Capitals situation and what has transpired already this offseason. I know we'll talk some draft. I know we'll talk some futures. But this one particularly feels one that has jumped out to you, JD, not only in the divisional market, but maybe also the Eastern Conference market here for the Capitals. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I mean, to think like I went back on June 21st, I mean, the Capitals were 10-1 to win the division. I grabbed them at 5-1 just before the draft. They're now down to about 4-1, and they've gone from 50-1 to win the Stanley Cup to 22-1. So I think everybody's on similar path as I am, that this is a year that Washington, who only missed the playoffs last year by 3 points, I think had 10 more wins than the Flyers, who made the playoffs last year, get themselves back in. So I think there are a lot of ways to attack the Capitals. I'd like them to win the division. I think that's a good bet. And I would sprinkle at them to win the Eastern Conference. You know, they're minus 265 to make the playoffs. I know that's pretty juicy, but I mean, if you've got the bankroll, I would definitely bet them on even at that price to make the playoffs.
Jonathan, the reason why we want to have you on, obviously, we enjoy just talking hockey with you. But two, I think a lot of people looking right now, they're talking World Cup, we're talking NFL football, the NBA, just, free agency period going on there. Their draft is over. Now the NHL draft is over, and we're getting into the free agency period here for hockey. Are there teams out there that you do think are a move or two away that kind of like in the NBA, if you can kind of make those educated guesses as to what teams might make those bold moves, you can get really good numbers before the books adjust. Can you identify a couple of those teams and numbers that you might like?
Well, I think the books kind of got wise to, like I said, they got wise to the Washington Capitals. You know, look, the San Jose Sharks are a team that had also become super sexy. They made some significant moves yesterday to bolster their blue line. They got two veteran defensemen in Darnell Nurse and Jacob Trouba. They're now at minus 140 to make the playoffs. I do like that, but I would also look that if you like them to make the playoffs, and I think Macklin Celebrini, who is a legit shot to win the Hart Trophy, the league MVP this year, when they fell out, he fell out. But if they make the playoffs, it's going to be because of Celebrini, who had 55 more points than the next leading scorer on the team this past year. I like him at plus 650 to win the Hart Trophy, the league MVP. I think that's one that is definitely worth a shot. And I like Edmonton. I would look at Edmonton, and the market's not out yet, but the Edmonton Oilers are a notoriously slow-starting team. There's been a lot of drama around this team in the offseason. They hired Mike Babcock, a very controversial decision to bring him in as head coach. They just signed Freddie Anderson late last night to give them some goaltending help. Freddie Anderson's had his demons over the years. He had a really good season last year in Carolina. But I like them. I would look at their point total over for the month of October. When that gets released, DraftKings is usually the place to go to. I would even sprinkle on them to win the division this year. I think there is some value there. Not all, you know, I think it's still under 2-1, but even to win the West at plus 450 and to win the Cup at 9-1, anytime you got Connor and Leon on your team, you're getting 9-1. I don't think that's a bad price either.
All right. One of the favorite movies and foundational ones of our time and generation, JD, is The Mighty Ducks. And if you've not watched the trilogy, shame on you, you should. Do we have the real life reincarnation of Fulton Reed and Dean Portman now in Florida with the Kachuk brothers joining forces? This feels like one of those opportunities where you can just say, the hell with the rest of the futures. I got to have a piece of Florida bouncing back this year.
Well, and you better watch out when you play the Panthers this year, because they're going to extract a pound of flesh from every team they play, guys. I mean, that lineup, and they just added, they brought back Radko Gudas, who had played the last 2 years in Anaheim, to this team. You've got the Kachuk brothers, you've got Gudas, you've got Sam Reinhart, you got Sam Bennett. It's going to be, you better have your elbow sharpened. I do like Florida. I like Florida to win the East. I like Florida to win the division at plus 225. I mean, I got them at plus 275. That number keeps dropping. But I do like Florida. I think that, you know, there's a chip on their shoulder after what they, you know, terrible season last year. Not surprising with all the injuries that they had. But I do like them to win the division. Now, you mentioned the Ducks. That's a team right now, guys, that concerns me. They, you know, they lost half their blue line in the offseason in Jacob Trouba, Radko Gudas, who I just mentioned, John Carlson, who they traded for late last year. They've only replaced those three guys right now with one. So they have really only four NHL defensemen. Oh, yeah. And they also lost another young gun guy. They decided to trade Olin Zellweger to Ottawa or to Buffalo. Not sure what's going on in Anaheim. I think it's worth a sprinkle right now at plus 180 to miss the playoffs. You can get that at DraftKings right now, plus 180. Ooh. And I also love Ottawa to miss the playoffs at plus 120. I don't see a path. You know, they trade their captain, Brady Kachuk. They really haven't gotten better. I think there's not a lot of positives in Ottawa. And two other teams, guys, that I would also look to miss the playoffs. Again, it's juicy, but Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, they both got in last year. The Penguins got worse in the offseason. They're minus 210 to miss the playoffs. I think it's a fair price. I don't see how either of those teams get in. The Flyers have not done anything to improve their team in a division that has seen the teams around them get better. So those are some of the things that I'm looking at. You know, you have to just think about every year we get about five teams that from the previous year that miss. So last year there were six new teams that got in. So don't be surprised. Like the teams that I mentioned are all teams that fall out.
Okay, this time last year we had you on, and I was so giddy about my Toronto Maple Leafs ticket at about 35-1. And JD, you said, no, like this isn't happening, right? And I keep waiting for the curse to end. And then I look this year to win the East. They've been shorted up to 15-1. I know Gavin McKenna, they're very excited about him, the top overall pick to come in there. You'd put him with Austin Matthews here. Can I get excited about Maple Leafs hockey this year, or is it another year that I should just sit back and wait?
Well, they're definitely better than they were last year. I mean, they also brought in Sergei Bobrovsky that they're hoping that, you know, the two-time Stanley Cup champion, you know, can regain the form that he had, you know, those cup-winning years in Florida. I think, you know, Bobrovsky will play a lot less. He'll probably, you know, he likes to play like 60 games. He can't be successful, I don't think, doing that. They added Darren Radish from Tampa. So they got themselves, you know, a guy that was one of the best offensive defensemen in the league last year. They get themselves a good goalie. They've added a lot of other depth pieces to the roster. I'm still not buying them. I've said to you guys before, until Austin Matthews hates to lose more than he likes to win, I can't bet on Toronto. But they are better than they were a year ago.
Hey, Gavin McKenna, you're here to save us. We shall see. We do need to do a buy the books remote. A lot of our brothers and sisters north of the border tuning us in on Rogers Sportsnet have been kind of clamoring for this show to go international, and I think we can do that for sure with you in tow, JD. Okay, speaking of that, what do we make of
well, I'm the one Canadian citizen on this show, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Right. we have safe harbor at the Davis household. No question about it. Do we have safe harbor out west in you know, the Canadian parts? I'm looking at Edmonton, you know, looking at Calgary, as some of the Western teams there in Canada. Your thoughts, JD, on a handicap on maybe the Oilers as well?
Well, like I said, I love Edmonton to come out to have a fast start. So when if you can get it, you know, October's always been a slow starting month for them. They're always playing catch up. I do like Edmonton. I think that, you know, this team is on a mission. They've got, you know, some say they've got a 1 year window because Connor McDavid's only extended for two. You know, you could potentially trade if they have a bad year this year. You know, maybe you look to trade him. Although I've been told that Connor McDavid's about to sign, you know, he'll sign a 7 year extension following the end of this year. I am bullish on Edmonton. I like the moves that they made to improve their blue line. I think they got better in goal this year. So, I am excited. Vancouver, I mean, they're the one team that is not trying to win. They're trying to rebuild. Calgary, you know, they're a lunch bucket team. They'll play you hard, and they're usually, you know, one goal away from winning most games. So that's what I would say to those teams. Montreal is another team that's been very quiet at the deadline. They did re-up some players. I still think they're definitely a playoff team, but I still don't think Edmonton does give Canada its best chance at winning the cup since 93.
I agree. And JD, as long as the Great Eight is coming back in Washington, D.C., I love where your head's at here. Looking ahead, maybe in Washington, there's some tickets to gobble up right now. Jonathan, you're the best. Enjoy this offseason. We'll catch up again soon. Give him a follow on X at West Coast Hockey NHL. We're back with the Daily Docket next right here. Beeson by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
It is 4th of July weekend this weekend. We're bringing back something we rarely do here on the network. How about a multi-year VSiN Pro subscription offer, and it's a pretty darn good one. For 1 week only, you can get 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. Now, that is access through July 2028 at nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You're going to get our NFL betting guides for the seasons, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, every betting guide that we do, season previews, VSiN Pro features. We're going to release those over the next 2 years. Do not wait. This special 4th of July offer will disappear after July 7th. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. A really good offer, as good as it gets here on the network. We are excited for 250 here to celebrate our country. That is a great offer that VSiN is offering you right now. Great conversation with Jonathan Davis. You want to get ahead of some of those numbers here in the NHL. Going to have Scott Merkin join the program here next to talk all things Southside and whether or not the White Sox are a playable team going forward. But right now, Jensen, it's all about soccer in the United States of America. Let's get to it in today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
You've got some plays out there for VSiN Pro subscribers. Before we get to those plays in the action today, have you made a wager yet on Monday's game with the United States here against Belgium? We know the red card heard round the World Cup yesterday will be without our top scorer.
I have not. I'm going to wait and see if we can gather any news. I would expect, Dave, as our friends across the pond have said, it'll be cagey, A cagey affair for Monday Night Football. On the soccer front, I have gotten to the window already on the first match of the afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern, noon Pacific. Spain and Austria, as we talked with Chris Vasili earlier in the show, if you missed that interview live, please go search for our Buy the Books podcast. Give us a like and follow. You get all of those hours delivered instantaneously to you. He and I kind of aligned on the pace of this game being a little bit more subdued as far as Spain being such a defensive wall. They have been nearly unscored upon in what feels like months of international competition. I do like the plus price on the under 2.5 for 90 minutes here. So I did pop that at plus $1.20. I did also take a Spain win to nil at minus $1.05. Just kind of a correlated play there, if you will. If scoring is going to be done, I think it's only going to be from Spain doing it themselves. Speaking of the scoring, Lamine Yamal, I am with Chris on an anytime goal scorer prop there, plus $1.25. Pedri is also one I would look at as a longer shot for a quarter unit at plus $5.50. And then, Dave, I've been doing this for pretty much every game of the knockout round, is doing a little fun pizza money correct score, exact, if you will. Spain 2, Austria nil at plus $4.75. Those are the plays in pocket currently from match number one at SoFi later on this afternoon.
So without Balogun in there because of that red card that we saw coming up against Belgium on Monday, we had Chris Vasili on earlier in the program. Please go back, like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast, and give it a listen on your time. Pepe, he believes, will be the guy that's going to get in there and get some of this run now without Flo in there with that red card. Jensen, I kiddingly said, but I will be looking potentially at some props that get out there. Again, I know it's Belgium. I know it's going to be tough. They've had our number. They beat us in a friendly back in March. They've eliminated us in the World Cup before. But can we now look to the United States and say, hey, it's next man up mentality, baby. We've arrived. We've got depth. Are we there with USA Soccer?
Well, Mauricio Pochettino is going to be one of those guys you lean on. And of course, his experience, you know, with Manchester United, he has been in this boat before. No better guy than the Argentine assassin that we would have on our sideline. Hey, the man is fist pumping to Freebird, and he's sing along with Country Roads. I actually did text West Virginia University Athletic Director Ren Baker last night. I said, who knew that we started a movement way back when I was in Morgantown, and now it is the U.S. men's national team that have taken it on as their victory song. So great to see the red, white, and blue faithful joining in the singing of that. So, yeah, it is next man up. I do think that we have that home field advantage. And, Dave, under the dusk there in the Pacific Northwest, we specialize in Monday Night Football on the NFL side. I don't think the Red Devils want anything to do with what we will have on display with the boys there in Seattle Monday night too. Couple other leans for you for the other matches today, Dave. Portugal, which I do have a future on at plus +850 to win the World Cup. I think they get this done in the 90-minute regulation against Croatia. I do like the $1.40 money line price here. I will probably get to the window on that, as will I on a both teams to score prop at minus $1.60. Croatia has been out there. I think they know they're going to have to send numbers forward and try and hang with this Portuguese offense. To that end, it also got me to look at a correct score of Portugal 2, Croatia 1 at plus +650. Probably going to do a little quarter unit play on that. I will get to backing Cristiano Ronaldo on an anytime goal scorer. That's actually at minus $1.25. Which I think is a little more affordable than I thought it would be. And then I'm going to shop around to find the best price for a Bruno Fernandes to score or assist prop. He has just been in and around all of the attacking front and is always around the net there with a chance to put it into the back of it. So that would be my thoughts that I'm probably going to get to with Croatia and Portugal. On the Switzerland front, I think I'm probably going to go on the 90-minute money line at even money for the Swiss. I think they've got enough here. And remember, Algeria lucky to even be in with the incredible last-minute draw that they had in the final match of their group play. But I do think the Swiss are superior in quality, and I do feel that they will get this done in the 90 minutes. So I will go back to a both teams to score prop at minus $1.30, and I think I will go play another correct score. Switzerland 2, Algeria 1 at plus 700 for a quarter unit play. That's where I'm going to – I'm just kidding. I wrote those down as what really jumped out that I would like to play. I have not gotten there yet because I just want to do my due diligence on the pricing. But those would be my angles for the final two matches later on tonight.
UFC 329 will be next week. Rob Moreno and I do not take weeks off, so you can still get it on First Strike right now. We did a little fun with this with our NFL betting guide out right now. It's a cross sport, UFC, NFL. Enjoy.
You did something fun this week for the show where I believe you ran this by AI, and your favorite football teams out there, if there were a fighter, has the computer spit out some data that might analyze what fighter might fit the profile of a football team?
Some people might get feel disrespected if depending on their favorite football team.
I love that.
We'll see what happens though. I'll start this off, but I have the New York Jets, famed, you know, team there. Yep. Patty Pimblett gets put as
Patty
the equal.
I'm offended, and I'm a Jets fan.
Let me tell you the rationale. It says a massive fan base, enormous hype, solid enough. But we'll always continue to lose the big ones. Everyone talks about them more than they probably deserve, it says.
Oh, AI, I am disrespected for the Patty Pimblett side, not for the Jets. Patty should never be associated with the football Jets. He's way better than the Jets. AI has got that one stone cold wrong. Patty Pimblett went 5 hard rounds with Justin Gaethje, and we saw Ilya Topuria. We're all putting in the Hall of Fame. He still might get there. Couldn't even get off the stool after the fourth. Not disrespecting Topuria, but pointing out that Pimblett was tough enough. Scousers don't get knocked out. The Jets get knocked out all the time, Rob Moreno. AI, you're wrong. Patty Pimblett is way above the New York football Jets.
All right, so we're 0 for 1.
0 for 1.
Here we go. The Cincinnati Bengals.
Ooh.
Sean O'Malley.
Wow.
So flashy, stylish, impossible not to watch, burst onto the scene with big moments, and they keep finding ways to stay relevant when the hype begins to fade. The ceiling is legitimately elite. Do you agree?
I think they got it right. I think they got it right. And I think this is good for both the Bengals and for the Sugar Show.
Yes.
Because you're right. It felt like the Sugar Show, not to say popularity, but the hype train was slowing down, right? All of a sudden, and we go, well, is Sean O'Malley still this elite guy? And it took the White House card to remind some people out there, and Sugar envisioned it, what he's going to do, the salute. And he did all of that. That does feel like Joe Burrow, right? Like, and Joe has been that close to a championship. I know Sean has won a title, but that close against the Rams, right? So I think it's a really good comparison. I think that that's like a positive. I think if you're Sean O'Malley and you're watching this, you're going, yeah, that's a good comp. And if you're Joe Burrow and the Bengals, you're going, yeah, I like that comp too, because that guy was champion. I know he fell, but now maybe he's back ascending again. Maybe the Bengals fell, got injured, back ascending again this year. I like that one. I think it works for both parties.
All right, we're 1-1. 1-1 here.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
$30 million in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with 3 Circa Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Millions, of course, Jensen, we're fired up for this one. 18 weeks. 128 different ways to win. I'm not saying that that's where the sharper people go. It might be a little bit tougher sometimes to win that. You got to have some good fortune, certainly, to win that, as well as Circus Survivor. Pick one winner each week. Last one standing, you're going to scoop that pot. Then, for you high rollers out there, it's Circa Grandissimo. $100,000 per entry. You got to enter in Nevada, play from anywhere in the country. $30 million guaranteed. Visit circusports.com for all of the details. Absolutely fantastic contest. Again, I'll be in two of those three. You and I will be in Grandissimo once we actually win millions, as we intend to do this year, Jensen. This is a lot of fun too, people. And we love the interactions that you guys give us out there in social media, and you get at us, whether it's at Jensen and I individually on Twitter. You can do this now for the show, because we've got a new way to get at us. It's if you want to email us your questions, thoughts, bets that you like, great wins, bad beats, you name it, buythebooks@vsin.com. So, Jensen, all we ask is that you tell us where you're writing to us from, where you're coming from, and we'll try to answer those questions here on the show as the show continues.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just we want to thank our audience, wherever you may be listening and watching. It is a coast-to-coast and international show, and we take a lot of pride in being the best morning betting show in the entire industry. It's a lot of fun to be able to see these people. We get a lot of those that are waking up early, and I mean like 0330 there for you military men and women. Hoorah. Out west. So cool to see those people who make us a part of your morning routine. So again, buy the books at VSiN.com. Your first name too, so we can start to even get to know you a little bit better, where you're from, city and state. And again, what a unique opportunity to see where your thought processes are. And also, Dave, an educational portion too. You know, if there are topics that you're interested in, we're going to start hitting on prediction markets coming up as we get closer to football season, something that people are really dipping their toe now into the deep end on. And so we will definitely, from a futures perspective, begin diving into the ABCs of it, you know, kind of walking before you run for those that aren't familiar with it yet. We will definitely lead you to profitability and where to maximize that ROI on all of those different fronts.
We appreciate the emails we get from Richard Robinson and certainly Bobby Volte also. Bobby reaching out here using this handle too. Again, buy the books at VSiN.com. Great to get their interactions here as well. I played that clip here from First Strike with me and Rob Moreno. And again, please like, subscribe to not just our show here, VSiN by the Books, but check out First Strike too if you're an MMA better. And we had a lot of fun. I know it's a down week this week with the UFC officially being off, but we did some of those comps that we talked about there, say Sean O'Malley with Joe Burrow and the Bengals. And whether or not Patty Pimblett, by the way, and the Jets, I did find that disrespectful. Patty Pimblett will be on the card next week, Jensen, against Benoit Saint-Denis. UFC 329, I know it's Conor McGregor, Max Holloway is going to take all the billing there, but Patty back on that card against Benoit Saint-Denis as the co-main event. He's a small betting underdog at this stage at plus $1.30 against a pretty tough Frenchman that we know in BSD here, minus $1.55. By the way, that number, as we mentioned, with Max Holloway and Conor McGregor has come way down here as this fight gets closer and closer. Max Holloway is minus -238. The comeback on Conor McGregor in his comeback fight is plus $1.95. I loved Conor when he was a big underdog. I don't know why, if I like him at this price point. Pricing does matter here in the handicap. So we'll get to, I'm sure, a lot of that next week as well with Conor and Max Holloway to headline UFC 329. Jensen, we've got some good action going on in the John Deere Classic going on right now here in the world of golf. I know you added a couple plays here right before we got to tee off time today, and I believe one of those is looking pretty darn good to begin the day today, and that is a top 10 finish potentially for Pearson Cootie. So far, so good for the young American.
All right, very good. Just a recap for people joining us. I did have Pearson Cootie not only a top 10 finish, including ties on DraftKings at plus +290. I did take a shot on him at 40-1 in the outright market, so love to hear that from you already. Early rabbit there at the John Deere. Also some outright markets. I did shop at the top here, Dave. Ben Griffin, 14-1. Chris Goddard up plus +1750. And then a little value add on one of our favorites here, Michael Thorbjornsson at 33-1. And then a guy I know you're very heavy on in Denny McCarthy. So I'm riding the wave with you. Best price I found in the outright was 62-1. So feel really good that an advantageous add for that spot. One of my bigger bets, though, Dave, is with him in the top 20 market, including ties, plus +225, the price I got on Denny McCarthy there. And then I did take a shot. DraftKings has a top 20 boost. It is a minimum of three golfers that you have to include in that parlay. So I did put little Denny in there, Ben Griffin, and JT Poston. Again, all these including ties for that top 20 finish. But that boost token, Dave, got me to a little over 13 to 1 for what might be a very juicy little look into Sunday if we get all of those three gentlemen that are shopping at the top there on Sunday afternoon.
Okay, I gave a little bomb play here. If you're watching from the very beginning of the show here, it's a five-leg parlay. And again, I'm not telling people to bet these things, okay? I'm just giving it to you for a little bit of fun, a little bit of pizza money play here, and an extreme long shot. This is a 150-to-1 play that I put out there here. Ben Griffin, of course, the tournament favorite. So I like him, obviously, for a top 20. I don't know if I want to play him in the short shot to win the tournament. I do like Tom Kim's form a lot. Wes Reynolds really likes Tom as well this week. You and I mentioned it. I do love Denny McCarthy this week. Denny, don't let me down, buddy. I need you at least for a top 20. I do have some outrights on you as well at over 55-to-1. I really do think this is a really good week for the UVA product. He's never won in the PGA Tour. If not now, when? It's not going to get to look a whole lot better than this in Top Gun parlance here. So fire when you're ready, Denny. I think this might be the week. Rio Hitsatsune is off to an even par start through three holes. I need him to get a top 20 finish here. He has been a cut-making machine. That's job number one. Get to the weekend. Then we can look at this top 20 play on Sunday. And Jackson Suber, the young American, and he really has been showing up here, and he's got some flashes here. We can go really low. Remember, this includes ties out there, people. We always stress that here in the betting market. You don't want to get one of those where you got to read the books. Make sure you get those, including ties. In the outright market, I mentioned Denny McCarthy, Jackson Suber, 55-to-1, 60-to-1. Love those guys for top 20 plays at solid plus money. You got even a better number on Denny McCarthy, a plus 225 to get a top 20 finish, including ties. And then my head-to-heads, Sung J.M., I really like his form coming in here. Minus $1.05 against the Gim Reaper and Doug Gim. Really like him this week, too. But I think Sung J is going to have a stronger week. And then this, look, Jackson Koivun, if you don't know who this kid is, he's going to be a guy that you and I, Jensen, hopefully are talking about for years to come here, making his PGA Tour debut this week. But you're giving me a former champion at this event at plus money who just won at Jack's Place a couple weeks ago. That's a slap in the face to me at JT Poston, who, oh, by the way, is on the course right now. He's already one under par so far. So I had to gobble up that plus money price here on JT. And again, if Jackson Koivun beats me, I'll tip my cap to the kid, but I'll take that plus money price here on a proven guy in JT Poston every day of the week and twice on Sundays. You've got some baseball plays, and we're going to have Scott Merkin join us here next, talking all things White Sox. Jensen, for VSiN Pro subscribers, what do you have on the diamond today that you might like here as an early look on a Friday? Or Thursday.
Yeah. Right. So, okay. Nothing officially in pocket, but definitely some angles that I'm looking at. First, the marquee pitching matchup of the afternoon. Look no further than Chase Burns with the Cincinnati Reds and Jacob Mizorowski for the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, interesting line movement here, Dave. It opened at 7. It dipped to 6.5. And then about an hour into our show, there was money that came back in, pushing it back up to 7. Now, I'm going to wait for official, I'm going to wait for official lineups before I jump in potentially here, because I don't exactly like where the ping pong has gone for two guys that on paper should be limiting run production really at any turn here. So I am anxious why that line did ping pong back up. One where I'm looking to take advantage of this heat dome that's been over the Midwest and the flyover states, didn't get there anywhere close to an over in Rays and Royals yesterday at 10.5, maybe wanting to look back there. Rays and Royals at 7:40 tonight. Junior Caminero going for his seventh game in a row where he is trying to hit a home run. He's got six consecutive. And again, if you're just joining us, if you rolled over a $100 wager on him to hit a home run at the beginning of this streak, you'd be up over $250,000. So congratulations if you did that. But it's Ian Seymour against Stephen Kolek. We'll wait and see for lineups there, but those are a couple of totals that I had my eye on considering the conditions and the starters later on today.
We always say that in Lewis Ross administration, job number one will always be transparency. That could be up for worst bet that I've had this year is Kansas City. Jensen, I mean, I loved this team. I loved this team coming into the season this year. I couldn't be more disappointed. Fountain's off right now in Kansas City, shut out with the wind blowing out yesterday as well. Scott Merkin's going to join the program next, talking all things. A great surprise so far this year, the Chicago White Sox. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
by the books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books, on this Thursday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. And boy, if you had the Chicago White Sox at 45-40, five games over 500 in first place at this juncture, maybe, Jensen, you might have been one of the few that believed the Southsiders could be this good so far so soon. Scott Merkin is kind enough to join the program here. MLB.com White Sox beat writer joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X, at Scott Merkin. And, Scott, it's been a pleasant surprise over there on the South Side. Is it as big a surprise to you as it might be to the general public what the White Sox have done so far?
I think maybe yes, but kind of qualified. Thanks for having me, first of all. You know, Davis Martin had a good part of a quote the other day where he said, it may be a surprise. You know, it's not a surprise to us. Let other people be surprised, because they believed in themselves going back to Sox Fest, which was late January. They really thought they could do something different, you know, this year. They could change the fortunes from three straight 100-loss seasons. Now, I will say this. I don't think anyone expected Detroit and Kansas City to be so off the mark, right? So, I mean, I think people might have expected the Sox to improve, but that they'd be fighting Cleveland for maybe a wild card or something like that, with Detroit and Kansas City leading the way. And lo and behold, Detroit and Kansas City are what Detroit after the sweep is 11 under, I think, and KC's 17, 18 under. I mean, Minnesota and the White Sox have been probably the biggest surprise of that division. But I think we can stop calling them a surprise. I think it's just a good baseball team in Cleveland for what should be a good series between the top two teams in that division.
All of a sudden, Scott, as you come back to Northeast Ohio, right up my neck of the woods, who knew we'd be circling a four-game series between these two squads as maybe the most consequential of the year, but here we are. You mentioned Davis Martin, and I had given him out at about 60-1 in the Cy Young market in the American League side about a month ago, and boy, has he lived up to the billing. What has changed, or what is the evolution you've seen year over year that has now elevated him to one of the best starting pitchers in all of baseball?
Yeah, I think one of the things to look at with what you just said is, you know, his numbers overall. I think he has a 3 ERA, but 15 of those earned runs, and I think he's given up 31 across the board this year, have come in two starts against the Yankees and one against nine against the Yankees, six against the Twins, both on the road. So, I mean, you know, that happens. Even the best of starters, even when Greg Maddux had a 1.63 ERA, I'm sure he had a bad outing, and maybe not too many, but, you know, one or two bad ones in there. I think he's just, you know, his stuff overall is up a little bit, but I think he's just more comfortable with where he's at. Not so much comfortable, but confident, and kind of knows that he's the guy now. You know, not only is he sort of the de facto ace of that staff right now, because they don't really look at each other as like, who's the ace, who's one, who's two. It's kind of the old baseball axiom that who's ever pitching on that day is the number one, right? But I think he just feels more confident in where he's at. You know, this is a guy who went through Tommy John surgery, came back in that dreadful 2024 season for the team, and kind of, you know, worked his way back last year, and now knows where he belongs, knows he's a focal point of that rotation. So I think that's more than anything, besides that the stuff's up a little bit. I think that he just feels like, you know, he's very at ease. You know, he trusts his stuff, trusts who he's working with, trusts the team, and just goes after it. And a big time, like he was last year, galvanizing force on that team, one of the true leaders in that clubhouse.
Talking with Scott Merkin, MLB.com, covering the White Sox. And Scott, to have a turnaround like this, you got to have specific players that have turned it around too. Miguel Vargas would certainly qualify for that as a turnaround and revelation for this year. What's changed here to make this year so productive?
Yeah, I think you started to see a little bit in it last year. You know, I was doing a little story in my newsletter yesterday about, you know, how we can put a moratorium on the 2024 mentions at this point. I get it that it's kind of an interesting number when you say they won 42, and, you know, in 2024 they won 41 all year. And I asked Vargas about that, and Vargas is good natured to the guys you want to find. Said, you know, yeah, I don't remember much about 2024. And I don't blame him. I mean, he's moved on from that, and I think he's just put in the work with the White Sox to get to this point where he's at. But we started to see it come last year, and now, you know, he told me, I want to say at the end of last year or during spring training, that he felt like third base was his spot. And he's been given that for the most part, you know, in this game of baseball today, versatility is the key. So he plays first base some too, but he has shown that he's a plus defender at third base. And really with Murakami, out during with the injury, him and Colson are kind of the power sources on that team. So it's just been impressive to see how once he's been given the chance, you know, it's kind of like he's good friends with Michael Bush. Matter of fact, he became a Vikings fan through Michael Bush, who is the same sort of scenario as Vargas in that they were kind of blocked in the endless talent of Los Angeles Dodgers. They were traded away, ironically, both to Chicago teams, and now both have become forces in the middle of their lineup. So I think just given the opportunity and letting him develop with this crew has made Vargas one of the top, you know, really one of the top players in the American League. I know the fans, I kid with him the other day about the fans started chanting MVP the other day at home when he hit a couple home runs, and he laughed at that. But I mean, he's got to be, you know, somewhere in that mix if the voting were to take place today.
You're not kidding, Scott. Only Junior Caminero, Nick Kurtz, Kevin McGonigal, Dylan Dingler, Yordan Alvarez, and Bobby Witt Jr. have a higher offensive wins above replacement so far than Miguel Vargas. I think when we visited with you in our Daily Diamond spring training preview, we were all kind of shocked that the White Sox got Munetaka Murakami. And boy, what a start he had. What are the great three true outcome players to start his major league career. We know he's working back from the hamstring injury. Do you have an update for us potentially on a timeline for his return and what obviously that would mean in the middle of this White Sox lineup?
So Friday will be 5 weeks since the injury. They said 4 to 6 weeks. I'm guessing it's going to be probably a little longer than 6 weeks. I would think that, you know, with his absence, and this is just me guessing, and Will Venable didn't really, you know, White Sox manager, didn't really say one way or the other if it's concrete, but I would think he'd have to do some rehab work in Charlotte, even if it's just a few games. You know, I get that they feel like maybe they can do it through the traject and through live BPs, but I would think you'd want him out on the field, running the bases in a game, playing first base in the game, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I know he's taking BP, I know he's running, but they've been very careful not to put any kind of timeline on him. You know, we had that with Kyle Teal. Kyle Teal, one of the most upbeat people alive, let alone just in baseball. And I think he thought, you know, I know in talking to him at the end of spring training when he hurt his hamstring at the WBC, he thought he'd be back in like, you know, a couple weeks after that. And it turned out it was what the start of the last homestand that he came back. Now he had a knee injury along the way too, and things like that happened. But I think they're being very careful to kind of manage the expectations, let Murakami be absolutely 100% because they know how valuable he's going to be the rest of the year. And then just real quickly in line with, you know, him coming there. I mean, he really changed the franchise, right? I mean, he really has made a difference in that franchise so many ways in terms of his presence in the middle of the order, taking pressure off other people in the lineup, opening up the Pacific Rim to the White Sox, not just in players, but marketing. So it really, I mean, yes, it was a surprise to a lot of people, but now an extraordinarily pleasant surprise that turned into something great for the White Sox.
You know, Scott, it's interesting. You look at the White Sox, you still get plus money, plus $1.45 for them to win the division five games over with a small lead here over the Guardians. And I can kind of go back just a couple of years ago when it looked like the Orioles were that young team, kind of like the White Sox right. are now. And did they want to push chips in at the All-Star break and make moves here before the trade deadline? They kind of didn't. I'm not saying that they made the window close a little bit there in Charm City. But what do you think the White Sox do? Will they push some chips to the middle of the table here? Or are they like, no, we might be ahead of schedule, but we like where we are?
Well, here's the thing about rebuilds that always confound me is, you know, you can only win the year you have, right? I mean, it's great to say, yeah, I remember there was a tweet from one of the national writers in the last rebuild where it had all the list of the guys the Sox have under control and how is it going to be a dominant run for a decade, and the Sox won two playoff games during that last wild card. You know, for whatever reason, things just didn't work. So you never know what's going to happen. This looks great. It's building up right as Chris, not as great. I'm not right. Chris has planned. I mean, I don't think he's that much of a diabolical genius that he knew the exact date this thing was going to turn around. Diabolical is the wrong word there, by the way. But I mean, I think it's coming along like he wants. But in the same sense, I think you have to go for it this year. I mean, you look at the American League, and I get a lot can change over the last 75 games. The Rays appear to be the class of the league. I think the Yankees are still a pretty good team, even though they're going through a tough time. But who's dominant aside from those two, right? I mean, right now, I believe the White Sox are the number two seed in the American League and a great team at home. So I'm not saying dismantle what you've so meticulously developed, but I would think, you know, if a month from now or 3 weeks from now, they're still right there and they should be, then you got to go for it to some extent, right? Maybe add a pitcher or two, maybe add another hitter, a right-handed hitter. But I mean, I think if it's there, you got to take a chance because you just don't know. There's no guarantee it should be good going forward. There's no guarantee it's going to be good going forward. So go for what you have now without tearing down what you've so carefully built.
It's like what Apollo told Rocky. There is no tomorrow, Scott. Let's go win today, baby. Scott, we really appreciate the time. Enjoy this ride here on the South Side. It's been a lot of fun to watch here from afar. Give him a follow on X at Scott Merkin. Does a great job covering the White Sox at MLB.com. Jensen, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll do it again tomorrow. And again, everybody, you've been watching out there in FanDuel Sports Network. You've been watching on YouTube TV. And you want more VEASAN? We know you do. VEASAN.com, the VEASAN Watch app. We've got a numbers game coming up next with Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidwin. Dallin Cuff is going to be on the program to give his World Cup expertise. And, of course, the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, is going to be on the program as well. That's all next right here on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.